Hey, welcome back here to the world-famous Bill Hendry Show. And the weekend is upon us, another hour, and we're going to be, stretching and relaxing. We do have our show tomorrow night, our Phil TV show, which is our bonus show. That will be on Phil TV only. We will not have a game of the week on Sunday, I've been told. And the reason is a little on the weird side. Steve Bozell's wife?
Yeah, his wife said that he's not allowed to.
What do you mean his wife said he's not allowed to?
Well, can I just jump in?
Hold on, General, because his wife wants him staying close to home this weekend.
Yeah.
Well, that's about as...
Yeah, I wanted to just bring... You know what PW is, don't you?
All right, General, I don't want to make any assumption. I don't want to say anything. There will be no... this was being done anyway. The game of the week was being done on a volunteer basis. We're not giving any money to Bud or to Steve.
Well, what about Ted Bell?
Ted doesn't want to do it. It destroyed his throat, and he had his asthma, and he almost choked to death. And he was dragged outside and thrown on the pavement by Bozell. And now Bozell
Well, he's not sick. This is far more of a disgrace, if you want my honest opinion, when he is told by his wife that he's not allowed to do the game. And I think it's disgraceful.
What is disgraceful about a woman wanting her husband home for the weekend?
There's nothing disgraceful per se, but to call up your individuals that rely on you and say, my mommy won't let me...
Yeah, it's pretty much what it is.
I don't believe he said that.
Well, you know full well. Did you take the call, Hendry, or...
First of all, General, the name is Phil.
I apologize. Did you take the call, Phil?
Yeah, because I call you General. I don't call you Shaw.
Well, that's true. However, I've fought for this country, and I deserve all the respect I can possibly get from anyone at any given time. If you don't want to give me respect, cut me a check. You don't want to cut me a check, you can bow or curtsy. But someone, somewhere, is going to give me respect. That's all I have to say. That is all.
General, more graham cracker?
Yes, and more cream cheese, please.
That is all, huh?
You heard me, as you were.
All right.
Phil, you're a little bit on edge tonight, and I just think you ought to take things as they come.
Yeah, well, certainly, General Shaw, he deserves all the respect he gets.
I'm giving him respect, okay?
I thought I told you to let it slide, Hendry, and to continue.
Yes, sir.
Now, where are these graham crackers, and where is that cream cheese? If I've got to wait 5 more seconds, someone is going to feel it. Someone is going to be in a world of pain. You understand?
Yes, sir.
Someone will be a hurtin' gator if I don't see that cream cheese and on a plate in front of me in 5 minutes.
All right, General. I'm doing a show over here. Do you mind?
Sorry, but...
Okay, so with all of that ahead of us, we do have on the line Vernon Dozier. We're going to talk to him in a moment. There are some stories in the news that we do want to get to. Just a couple things that you'll find fascinating. I know we have Vernon. We've got plenty of time for him.
Well, he's,
Yeah, I know he's in a hurry. Everybody's in a hurry tonight, man. I got my thing I want to do, okay?
Well, Phil, it isn't all about you.
Yeah, there's other people.
I didn't say it was all about me. I just would like to read some news.
Well, okay.
Oh, well, thank you.
Well, you want to get to it? You're going through that news like you're looking for a pair of underwear.
Well, the news story that I've got, here it is. Alec Baldwin, did you hear about this? Alec Baldwin, and I was looking at it yesterday, and I was going to do it on the air, but I forgot.
Do what?
Read the story.
Well, Phil, we just heard about a man soiling himself, so we don't...
Yeah, you're right. I should be clear. No, I was going to say, Robert, I wanted to soil myself on the air tonight, but hey, I decided not to because General Shaw already made a guy do that. So instead, I'm going to read a story about Alec Baldwin.
All right, now I understand.
Good, you were very clear.
Thank you. Just because Alec Baldwin isn't on TV 24/7, it doesn't mean someone isn't always watching. And that from TV Scoop. I saw the video as Mr. Baldwin was being stalked by a photographer for TMZ. The photographer was attempting to take pictures, according to Alec Baldwin, of his wife and daughter. Now, Alec Baldwin, I think, I'm going to give a little opinion here. I think he reacted normally. I don't think there was anything abnormal about the reaction. I think that if there's a photographer that's shoving a camera up your rear end or trying to get a picture of your kids or your wife, you're going to get angry. So he took off after one of these photographers. The guy ran away. Then he took off after another cameraman who had the camera right on Baldwin, and this guy backed up. And as Baldwin turned, he called the guy a sea-sucking F-word. According to GLAAD, which is the Gay Lesbian Alliance Against Defamation, Mr. Baldwin used a sling of a slew.
Well, it was a sling. He slung a slew. I'm not trying to be funny, but...
Yeah, he slung a slew.
What do you mean?
Never mind. He said a slew of anti-gay epithets. The organization's president called him out for his, quote, anti-gay slurs, referring also to tweeted remarks Baldwin made back in June when he got angry at a reporter who wrote up what turned out to be an erroneous story about his wife. I would like to address the comments I made this past week. Now, Alec Baldwin, for his part, apologized. He said, I'd like to address these comments. He began in a statement posted on MSNBC.com. I did not intend to hurt or offend anyone with my choice of words, but clearly I have, and for that I'm deeply sorry. Words are important. I understand that and will choose mine with great care going forward. What I said and did this week as I was trying to protect my family was offensive and unacceptable. Behavior like this undermines hard-fought rights that I vigorously support. I understand Up Late will be taken off the schedule for tonight and next week, which it was. I got to tell you that the gay slur is an unacceptable fact of many men's lives. Using it when you're angry is a way of insulting another man. If you want to insult another straight man, it pretty much is a sure bet that you can call him something having to do with homosexuality. You can use one of these words, and you will anger and upset and offend him. And it's a very unfortunate... I'm not forgiving it, okay? I'm not forgiving it. I'm saying it's an unfortunate reality that a lot of us... And I include myself in this, by the way.
So you have used those words.
Well, Phil, I think you might want to reconsider...
No, just take it easy, man. This isn't any big scoop, okay? Then, you know, there's no big scoop here.
Yeah, but what if TMZ calls out, want to know if you call the guy the F-word...
TMZ ain't going to be calling you, okay? And if they do, I'll talk to them. And if they want to know, have I ever used the word, the answer is yes. Am I proud of it? No. Why did you use it, Phil? Because I was talking to another straight guy, and I wanted to piss him off. Okay? And that's how you piss off a straight guy. It's not to overtly slam the orientation of gay people. It's to make another guy angry. And I got to tell you,
Would it make you angry if you were called that?
Well, but now, understand something. No, it wouldn't. No, it wouldn't. And the reason is, you use it specifically against some guys because you think maybe they have fears or doubts in that direction. Like, maybe they think they're, you know, maybe they're in the closet or something. You don't know. You know? But,
So it doesn't offend you if someone were to say, hey, Henry, you big F...
I mean, if I was feeling pretty angry at the moment, if I was upset, if I felt like I was being attacked unfairly and it was ongoing and it was wearing me down, probably. There's no question. But it is a way for some men to communicate, and it's childish. It's if you call a guy that, you're pretty much asking for a fight, and I suppose that's been the case for a great many who have used those words. But it's not really anti-gay. I'll back up on that. In my view, it isn't, but I accept the view of the gay community. If it is offensive, no matter what the context, then it is. And it's something we got to train ourselves not to use. I got to tell you, I'm very sensitive to this stuff, and I will change my habits, and I have. And we've changed the words that we allow on this show. You know? But I don't think you need to take this guy off the air for 2 weeks.
What? Are you kidding me, man? That guy said a dirty word.
Yeah, I think you have to, Mr. Henry.
Well, you know, let me just lend my... You have to make a more proactive... See, it's not about whether they think Alec Baldwin did something wrong. It's about whether the gay community will accept what punishment has been meted out. You have to appear that you're addressing the problem proactively, directly, and with a firmness of hand, as well as a softness of the other hand. So one hand is firm and the other is soft.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Oh, don't pretend like you don't know what I'm talking about.
Thank you very much, General. All right, so coming up, it's...
Well, I notice how now you don't want to talk about it.
No, I don't, because I think we're all done talking about it. But Alec Baldwin taken off the air for 2 weeks on MSNBC. And if you don't like Alec Baldwin, I like the guy I think he's a funny guy. I like him as an actor. His political point of view sucks. I can't stand it, and that's just where that's at. But it doesn't mean I don't admire the cat as an artist, and I do think he's a funny cat. I think a lot of the stuff he does, you know, those Capital One spots.
You said you didn't like it when they teamed him up with Steve Martin.
I thought it was a great idea. In fact, I think those two guys together are funny, but it didn't look like Steve Martin liked it. I think Steve Martin would have preferred to have worked by himself, and I don't know why I feel that way, but I just do. All right, we'll be back. We've got more news, and then we have Vernon Dozier. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. No Game of the Week on Sunday. Apologize. However, we have our bonus show tomorrow night at 6 o'clock. On the world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com, Phil TV. Hey, welcome back to Phil Henry Show here. Vernon Dozier going to join us here. It's a Friday evening. You know, we haven't had Ted Bell. What is up with Ted Bell?
I know he's very busy. I know they've put in another oven. This will be... They keep replacing ovens over there. He's very sensitive to that.
Well, this guy Bell, you know, he owes me a steak dinner. I went in there and they didn't have a table. And I said, I'm General Galen Shaw. And he began to turn away. He said, yeah. He said, that's nice. He said, and I'm Captain Crunch. These were his words, not mine. His words, not mine.
He said what?
Oh, I don't believe that.
That's exactly what he said. You could ask my wife, Elise. I went in. Was this the Ted of Beverly Hills, right? They want to put the meat in the mouth, isn't that what they say?
Yes.
All right. I went in and I said, I'm General Galen Shaw. He looked me up and down with his eyes lingering on my midsection.
You mean?
Exactly. And I said, I'm General, and he said, that's nice, I'm Captain Crunch. And he turned away and I said, is your name Bell? And he turned back with this look that I've often seen on these smart-ass junior officers. And he said, yes, who are you? I said, I'm General Galen Shaw from the Henry Show. And all of a sudden, he was falling all over himself, apologizing profusely. He said, General, I'm sorry, we're busy tonight. I didn't know. And he sat, Elise and I, at a table that could have been far better, let me tell you. We had our back to the kitchen, and I could smell that. If there's one thing I won't stand for, one thing I will not live with, is the smell of urinal cakes while I'm having a spinach dip. I'm sure you understand.
Yeah, I do understand. I don't like that smell. Where did they... So they put you near the...
Near the what?
Did they put you near the restroom?
No, we were nowhere near the restroom.
Well, where were you?
We were at a table in the middle of the dining room.
Well, why are you smelling urinal cakes?
Because I'd just gone to the bathroom. Are you listening to me?
General, it sounded to us...
No. I had just been in the bath, and I didn't like the smell of it in there.
Okay, I mean, if you're going to go into the bathroom, I guess you're going to smell urinal cakes, but you're in the middle of the... What did it smell like in the dining room?
Like steak.
Okay, well, that's... So what was wrong with the experience?
I didn't like the way he looked at me and called me Captain Crunch.
No, he called himself Captain Crunch. He said, who are you?
Well, he didn't call me Captain Crunch, you're right, but he said, and I'm Captain Crunch. And I took that as an insult, saying, well, I might as well be a cartoon character too. And I said to him, are you saying that I'm some sort of fantasy in the mind of a kid who's probably got a tube going out of his arm to a bottle hanging from something that looks like a coat rack? I'm sorry. Henry, you know, there is an afterlife. There is an afterlife. I've seen it in my dreams and in my fantasies. And I know that afterlife holds great things for me. For you, brother, get ready. Hold on to yourself. Make sure you got an extra specially tight belt.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Listen to you laughing at God's judgment.
Oh, get out of here, will you, General? Go have yourself another. What is he having, graham crackers?
Yeah, you want another cream cheese?
No, I don't want any more cream cheese. Because that stuff, it sticks to my mouth, and I don't want to go home with a white wad on my...
Phil, would you grow up?
What is it with the grow up? You heard him. Where is he?
He went out. I think he's going out of the bathroom.
Yeah, he's going to go to the bathroom and get more Nilla wafer.
More Nilla wafers. All right. We have on the line here Vernon Dozier, and I know Vernon's a very big fan of General Shaw's because, Vernon, you, like myself, support the military. How are you doing tonight?
Phil, I'm doing good, and General Shaw is, once again, he's laying down the law, man, and I love that about the man. I truly do.
But I wanted to ask you, and maybe it's a touchy question, how'd the team do this year, the Belmar Academy varsity?
Well, I know you were talking about it. We didn't do too good, and it was exactly as Margaret said. We lost a lot of our good seniors last year. Joey Shaw went off to Tennessee. We lost a very, very good little running back, Marvin Bryant. He's off at his father's alma mater in North Carolina State. But I'm very proud that we've produced the good ball players that we have over the years at Belmar Academy. But, no, we did not have a good year this year, and that happens. I can tell you that next year we will have a good year. And I say that with great confidence, and I say that to the parents. I say that to prospective players, any of the young men who are coming in from middle schools, around the Los Angeles area. I guarantee you this, Belmar Academy is very well known, and we will have a good football team next year. I don't care what I got to do to make that happen. I don't care. Just, you know, just don't press me too much on that because I...
Well, it's an emotional topic.
You got that right. It's emotional. I took it, and I listened to it, and I took it, and I listened to it all year long. Hey, coach, what's wrong? Hey, coach, this, that. The parents, who are always unforgiving, and because I had one bad year, and this is the first year that we did not make the playoffs in six, and I'd say probably our average every 6 years we don't make the playoffs. Otherwise, we are always in the top bracket of our league. But this year, because you got so many of these parents who don't know a thing about football, they barely know anything about, you know, zipping up their own flies, and I don't want to say any more about that. But
You've often had a contentious relationship with parents. You've had good ones too, but you've had contentious. And I will tell you this, General.
I take that as a compliment.
Who are you calling, General? Vernon Dozier's on the phone.
Hey, General Shaw, it's Vernon Dozier.
Vernon, how are you, Coach? It's great to talk. You know, we've had a weird night tonight, but it's great to talk with you.
It's always an honor to talk with you, sir.
All right, but I wanted to say to you, Vernon, I support you, as you know, in your belief that the coach is the final arbiter of what happens. The parents may certainly give their opinion, but it ends with you.
The parents, their opinions are welcome to a point. As I said to you, I'm not going to sit and listen to a nonstop litany of these people lining up in my office and telling me how it's going to be, because I'll tell you right now, nobody tells me how I coach my football team. You don't want your kid on my team? Great. Take your kid and have yourself, go on off and play a little Pop Warner. You can play catch over there under a tree or something. It doesn't matter to me. But my football team is my football team. Now, to answer your question, did we have a good year? No, we did not. Are we going to have a good year next year? You better believe it. If I have to, and forgive the dramatics, but if I've got to die, I mean, if I have to collapse dead on the sidelines next year, we will have a winning team. I don't care if I'm laying there and they're stepping over me because everyone's excited over the fact that we're having a chance. I would rather that happen, Phil. That's how devoted I am to this football team, and that's how devoted I am to the school.
That you would rather what?
Is that Margaret?
Yes, Coach. This is Margaret Gray.
What I said was, I would rather collapse and die on the sidelines and not be noticed because everyone's celebrating a victory that gives us the league championship, and they're stepping over me to the point where I decay.
Yeah.
Oh, so you don't get that.
Well, it's...
Well, that's the kind of competitor that I am.
Okay, hold on, Coach. We'll get back with you. There is Coach Vernon Dozier. He's a competitive guy. There's no question about it. And obviously, he wants that ball club of his to rebound next year. We'll get into talking with him about Rob Ford and Stephen Bozell. Mr. Bozell cannot make our game of the week on Sunday. We'll see what the coach thinks about that. World-famous Phil Henry Show. Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Just an interesting note, and I don't know how interesting you find it. I think it's fascinating, and I found the picture. I got no problem posting it.
Oh, God, the one on the homepage?
I saw that. Did you see it, General?
Yeah, I did see that picture. You're massive. You look like a blimp. I don't know what... But it must have taken guts that... I got to tell you, I hand it to you, Phil. With the guts it took to put that picture of your blimp self on your homepage, I would trust you with the lives of every man in my battalion. As we storm the gates...
All right, that's fine, General. Thank you very much.
Well, I do.
Let me get Vernon Dozier on the line here as long as we're, you know, disparaging... Well, I'm not disparaging. I don't know, Coach. I have on my homepage a picture of myself with Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Did you see it?
Did not see that. Let me. I'm in front of the computer right now.
This was a picture that was taken of me with the former NBA great, still an NBA great, when I was on a TV show called New Girl, and he was a guest star on the show.
Oh yeah, look at that, the size of you. You look like a fat slob, don't you?
Yeah, that's the truth.
And look at and I'll tell you what doesn't do you any favors. Now Kareem looks good. And what are you guys talking about there?
Well, we were in a large... This was very interesting. It was a studio where we were shooting this scene. But Kareem, in the contract that he signs whenever he does a TV show, you can't give him a regular dressing room. He's too big, you know. The dressing rooms they give you are generally these mobile dressing rooms that are in trailers. He gets, as well he should, he had a whole huge room. You know, and in the room had to be certain foods, and it just, and I don't blame the guy. You know, he's big and he wants to have his privacy, and I had asked him. I remember I made a point that I wasn't going to ask him about basketball because he probably gets sick of it. But I had heard that he'd written a book about the 761st, which was a tank battalion of African American tankers. Now, Kareem's father had been in an artillery company in World War II, so I asked him about it. And he very much warmed to the subject. It was probably something that he hadn't had a chance to talk about too much. But we sat down and we talked about the exploits of this group of black tankers in World War II.
Did he make any comment on your big fat ass? Excuse me for using that language, Phil.
No, he did not. No, he did not. He probably thought, hey, look at this fat guy. Probably, you know.
Man, you are big there. And here's the thing, ladies and gentlemen, as long as Phil pointed this out to me.
The bag of chips?
Yeah, there's right up there in the front is a bag of those Kettle sea salt chips. And, man, if that makes it almost look like, Phil had his hand in this bag of chips, but for the photograph, you have your fingers locked together and you're very paying attention to it. Like, you be truthful. When Kareem was talking, you couldn't have cared less. You were shoveling those chips, right?
No, I was actually listening to him. What's with the
Because the bag's sitting open, and now all of a sudden there you are listening to him all attentive. How does a fat man ignore? It doesn't make sense.
Yeah, Phil, this is just basic forensics, all right?
Will you get out of here with forensics? What do you guys think, you're cops?
There's certain rules of evidence. If you got a fat boy, now Phil, just hear me out, okay?
No, I'm not going to let you guys use this as an occasion to start bagging on me, all right?
Phil, you don't look that way anymore. You look way better. Allow them to comment. We haven't seen a picture of you when you were so big Good God.
You must have been 350 pounds there.
No, I never got more than 306. Thank you very much.
Oh, well, give the man a banana. You know. How do you like that? Give the man a banana?
Now, give the monkey a banana. Ow.
All right, look, Dickman, I'll handle it, okay? I'll handle my punchlines. Jeez, this guy. But anyway, Phil, what was it an interesting afternoon?
I enjoyed talking to him. He's a great guy. And I know that when I put that picture on the homepage, I was going to take all kinds of grief for it. I'm glad I have that picture. I've never seen myself look so bad, you know, and the hair. I mean, I was just, like, not even caring, you know, what I looked like back in those days.
Well, what was going on with your life?
I don't know. I mean, I was unhappy. I was in,
Was it when you were up with this company that you was with in Oregon? Is that it?
Well, yeah, a lot of it had to do with that. I had another year left on my deal with them. I didn't even own 100% of my company. I was sharing ownership with somebody else, and it was just... That was 1 month before I started my diet. So I probably took a look at myself on that show. And I did. I saw pictures of myself from that show. And I went, you know what? This is not good, man.
And that's when you decided you were going to, you know, maybe leave the potato chips alone. And maybe you just might get yourself a glass of water and maybe, some bananas or something like that.
Yeah, the bananas. That's good.
You really you think bananas is funny, huh?
Well, he's got the whole monkey thing going on.
Yeah.
Oh, God. All right. So...
But the thing that... And I'm glad, because when you've got a... Again, Phil, this is rules of evidence. If you have a fat man and there's a bag of chips, there's not a chance on God's earth that man's big, chubby mitt wasn't in that bag, grabbing for all the gusto. And then as soon as someone said, oh, can we get a picture... The hand comes out, and you want to know how I know? Because your right hand, which is the closest one to that bag, I see there's a little bit of a sheen from the oil, okay?
You know what, Vernon?
No, whoa, brother. Are you looking at the marker? You see it?
Yeah, Phil, if you look at the picture, you can see a little bit of the glistening.
Right, I see the glistening. Now, you think that's chip oil, huh?
Yeah, I think it's potato oil, yeah.
All right.
And I think that's the giveaway. So if you want to do anything with that picture, I would try to do some kind of a Photoshop or airbrush it so that the glow of the lard oil isn't all over your hand.
I'm looking at that picture, and my right hand is not glowing with lard oil. Okay, I mean I just don't see it.
Well, all right, you're looking through the eyes of love, as they say.
That's true, Phil. Looking through the eyes of love. Looking through the eye, that means you love yourself.
Or at least you love your hand. And I'm only half kidding, because at that point in your life, you couldn't have possibly... Did you have... Well, it's none of my business.
Yeah, that's right. It is none of your business. None of your business. And if you want to know, and I don't know whether this is a comment that's good or bad, even at that size, yeah, I had girlfriends.
You got to be kidding.
No, I'm not. But that doesn't do any good. If you feel like you look like hell, and I did, it doesn't matter, man. You could. It just to me, I didn't feel good, and I know I didn't look good. So, all right, Coach, we have a couple of things we wanted to talk to you about, and one of them is this Rob Ford in Toronto. Have you been following this?
I have, Phil. And I knew you wanted to talk to me about this guy, Rob Ford, the former mayor of. I say former because they are about ready to strip him of his powers. Disgraced the city of Toronto. With his behavior. He disgraced the office of the mayor of that city with his behavior. People love to bag on politicians, but I will tell you, the stories of mayors or governors or senators or presidents or anybody that you care to choose openly smoking a narcotic or a drug that is illegal, fortunately, this is not a common occurrence. So when you do find out about a man who runs a city, is the chief executive of a city, and he is, for all the world, wantonly and brazenly sucking on that glass, you know what, starts with a D, ends with a K.
Okay, I got it.
All right, well, you know where I'm going with it.
Yeah.
All right, if he's openly and wantonly just lip-locking that glass pipe, and there's pictures of it, and they've got videotape of it, and now... seen in the paper today made me want to throw my guts up. He was sitting there, it looked like at a city council meeting, and it looked like he had some brown napkins that he grabbed off a counter at Starbucks, and he's crying into the napkins like he's going to need to get up and say, "Excuse me, sir, could I take a couple of minutes to go and call my mommy?" Because that's what it looked like.
Well, Vernon, I think you're very cruel when you start to talk this way.
No, Margaret, no, I'm not being cruel, no. This is the chief executive of a major North American city, the biggest city in Canada, and it is a cosmopolitan city, and there's a lot of traffic in and out of Toronto. All kinds of people go to Toronto, artists, business people, bankers, lawyers, you name it. And here's a guy with his little blonde haircut and his big fat ass. This guy's bigger than you were in that picture with Kareem, and he's got the Starbucks napkins up to his face, and he's going, "Ooh." And the next thing you know, you're going to hear someone say, "Roddy, it's Mommy, and you can come on home now." You see what I'm saying?
You know, this is why I like you, Coach. You put it in black and white terms. I love it.
Yeah, well, you know, it sounds a little mocking.
Oh, well, isn't that too... I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to mock you, Mr. Mayor. Now, you just go right ahead and you blast up another rock. And when you're done, and they tell you that you don't get to have all the powers that you had as a mayor, you make sure you get on the phone and call your mama. Because that's what you're going to want to do. And you were going to ask me about this guy, Bozell, is that right?
Well, we've got a couple of minutes here, and...
Well, hold on. This guy, Bozell, are you telling me straight that his
mommy
says that he can't go and do the... How about that? Do you love that, General? Excuse me, I can't do the football game this weekend because my mama is not going to let me go out and do it. That's the biggest load, man. That's a bigger load than what you were carrying in that picture with Kareem. Now, I'm going to tell you something.
All right, we'll get back with the coach. We have the general here.
Well, you cut off Coach Dozier. I'm not sure that that's the proper protocol.
Well, it was the proper protocol for me. We'll be back. We'll have Coach Dozier back here with us in just a moment on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com, 855-500-7445. Talking about Steve Bozell. Talking about Rob Ford, the coach, reading the riot act on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Just a couple of more minutes with Vernon Dozier, and then we're off and running into the weekend. And again, Phil TV tomorrow night at 6 for our bonus show. Coach, do you ever join us for our little tequila fests?
Yeah, you know, every now and again I like to watch it because I do teach history and teach social sciences. I'm not sure I would have my students because you're sitting there bellying up with a bottle of tequila, you know, and... I've often wondered how it is you do that. You don't go out and when you finish drinking that, don't you just collapse or something?
Well, that's my... I think that's what you do, don't you?
No, I don't just collapse. Although, I'll tell you, if I drink enough tequila, yeah, I'll go to sleep or something. I mean, nobody can drink a lot of tequila and be able to do anything more than just sit, laugh, and talk, and that. You know, you're not going to get in a car or dance, you know.
You play the music loud, don't you do something like that?
Yeah, I play music loud.
All right, so you drink that tequila, and then do you get out there with your friends and go, you know what I'm saying, bud? You probably see it.
Yeah, a lot of times he'll be out there going, "Woo!" You know, don't you, Mr. Hendry?
No, I don't do that. No, I don't. I don't go out there and go, "Woo!" What does that mean?
Well, I've seen a lot of these people that like to slobber that stuff down. Now, I'm not putting it down, but I'm not a big drinker. You know, I like to think I'm a controlled man. I do have a great deal of discipline, and as you well know, I heard you mocking yesterday General Shaw, who joined the Army because he wanted to know what it was like to have a tank drive over his arm. Is that true, sir?
That is exactly correct, Coach. Thank you. And Mr. Hendry was, and I'm not, you know, Phil, I respect you, but you were mocking the experience.
You were talking about a movie, okay?
Well, hold on, Phil. No, wait. Don't tell him. He's been... If he... Because let me tell you something, and I've told you this, and I know there's people that know this. I grew up with a mother that kissed me on the lips every day before I went to school. Okay, enough said about that. That can do an awful lot to shrivel up a man's self-esteem and really shrink down and shrivel right on up the awareness that he has of his own ability to even just stand up while going to the bathroom. That happened to me. Now, I decided that I would do everything I could to toughen myself up, and I've told you those experiences.
Yeah, some of them are pretty weird.
Get a load of this guy, will you?
You know, Phil, you should stop judging people.
Get a load of this guy, will you? A lot of them are pretty weird. I just did. Isn't that what you just said?
Yeah, I think that it's weird to walk into a bar in a predominantly African-American part of town, as you said you did, and then say using racial insults, do any of you have a light, and then get your ass beat, as well you should have, and laugh through the experience.
And I told them, I said, go ahead, have at it, have your fun, because you won't see me cry. I'll laugh through the whole thing.
So you took your beating like a man.
That's exactly right, General.
Well, I have to... Yay! Bud?
Yay!
You have to applaud that, Phil, don't you?
No, I don't have to applaud that. No, I don't. I can call out a guy with a butterfly net.
A butterfly net. You understand what you're calling me now? A butterfly net.
Yeah, I know exactly what I'm saying. It's a weird, weird thing. Now, the other thing that you do...
Yeah, I'll tell the General what I do. You don't need to tell him. I'll tell him. I have my wife back over my hand. You know, my wife, we just got that big excursion SUV.
Yeah, how do you like that?
I love it. I don't care how much it costs in gasoline. It doesn't matter to me at all. I love it. I like how big it is. I like how heavy it is. And I like the fact that when she backs that over my hand every Monday morning, it hurts, and I don't say a word.
Are you kidding me? Coach, you don't talk about it or nothing?
No, I don't. No, I don't, bud. And one of these days, maybe I'll teach you how to do that.
No, you will not. You're not going to drive a car over to this kid's hand.
Oh, well, I'm sorry, bud. You check with Mr. Hendry and make sure that your mommy doesn't want you to get hurt, you know?
You can mock all you want,
Just call me General again. You know, I think that my force of personality...
You know, I'm going to say something here. I'm a mother, and if I caught you backing a car over my son's hand, I can assure you that you wouldn't be walking... in a normal way, you would be going across a crosswalk, and people would be crossing themselves and saying, look at that poor man.
What?
You know, I think that started out as a pretty good insult, and then you got lost along the way, didn't you?
You know what I'm saying.
Not really. I mean, are you saying, in other words, you'd injure me to the point where I'd get the pity of other people? I mean, what, would you turn me into the feathered hen from Freaks? Is that what you're trying to say to me? Go ahead. Say it.
I think you know what I mean.
So you turned me into a freak. You turned me into that guy that sang soprano there from Freaks, right? Remember that weightlifter that...
Okay, we get it. No, she's not saying that. She's saying that that's a very extreme way of proving your machismo. I think it's very weird. You want my honest opinion? I mean...
I didn't ask for your honest opinion.
Okay, here's my dishonest opinion. It's fantastic. In fact, I think you ought to have your wife drive right over your stomach next time.
Yeah. I bet you'd like that. And then you'd see a picture of me all squished up on the newspaper, and you'd say, there he is, there's that nut. I knew that nut would wind up doing something like that.
Well, I want to say something. I think that I admire both of you. There's no question about it. But I think that Coach Dozier has much to contribute if you'd only let him, Phil.
I don't think the coach doesn't have anything to contribute. I just don't think driving a car over his hand.
All right, well, let's get back to what... Weren't we going to talk about Bozell?
Yeah, we got a couple... I want to... Tell me what you think of this. Now, Steve Bozell...
I got it all planned out. I heard. Bozell was supposed to do this game in a week, right?
Yeah. Why don't you do it, Coach?
Are you crazy? Are you out of your mind?
Well, now, hold on, Coach. Is it because your wife won't let you come out?
No. What do you mean, come out? You mean out of the closet?
No, he's talking about...
I'm talking about come out of the house to do the game.
No, it's because I got... My weekends are precious to me. Thank you very much. And the last thing I'm going to do is throw it away on doing some free game for Henry. Now, this guy who gave his commitment, though, that's a whole different story. Bell, and I know this Bell guy, and the other guy is this Bozell. The two of them gave their commitment, and then all of a sudden, I think it was Bell... He got the sniffles, if you're ready for this, or whatever his problem was, and he had to stay home so his mama can get him a orange juice cup or whatever the hell.
You know, you get really angry when you talk about this stuff.
You better believe Is that what I heard?
She doesn't want him to leave the house, yeah.
Oh, okay. So he's got to check with his mama, John.
You know, Coach, we need more men like you. There's no question about it.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, General. It makes me sick.
All right, well, I'll let you go, and you can contemplate the weakness of America. There's something wrong with that guy.
Well, what do you mean there's something? That man's the only man that's made any sense tonight.
Well, listen to the anger in that man.
That guy has got a screw loose, and he always has. He always has. For as long as I've known him, he's had a screw loose. He gets all pissed off about this, that, something else. That mother of his, whatever she did.
Well, and let's not forget Herb Sewell. He's all jacked up because of his mother, too.
What'd she do?
I don't even know what she did. I don't even know what she did. All right, you guys, that's wrapping it, man. That's wrapping it, and that's rock and roll. And we will see you on the morrow, 6 o'clock Pacific time, for our Phil TV in HD bonus show. So get ready, get you Don Julio, and let's do the do. And Margaret, Bud, and General.
Thank you very much, Phil. This has been a wonderful week. I've enjoyed it vastly.
All right, you have your vanilla wafers, and we'll see you guys later. And don't forget, a BSP, a backstage pass, is what ultimately you must have.